podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet.
Hello and welcome to this, the latest edition of Saturday Draft Live here on Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. I'm your host this week, Stephen Wilson, and I am joined by a man who has jetted, literally jetted in the last couple of days from one side of the globe to the other to be here for this edition of the show. It is, of course, David Hockney. David, how are you?
Konnichiwa, irasamase. Yes, I'm back from being the live correspondent for East Meets West, and my body clock is fucked right now. But you know what? I've missed doing Saturday Draft Live. I'm back. Let's pick up where things left off, and yeah, let's get back into the routine.
I love how you've said that you're the correspondent for East Meets West, and yet you've arrived home literally a couple of days before a New Japan show.
There was a matter of crown jewel to discuss in the Middle East, so I feel that took priority. And my knowledge of New Japan Pro Wrestling is still fairly limited, so there was only so much I could do out there.
Yes, we had New Japan Power Struggle in Osaka. It's pretty much on as we speak. So yes, there's definitely no live correspondence from that show in this one. If you want to find out about that one, please listen to East Meets West with Grant and Scott on our network. You can find out more about that. But we are here to talk about the draft. We have three and a bit weeks left of the draft to go, with Survivor Series in 3 weeks' time. Still a bit to decide, but there's a bit that's a bit of a foregone conclusion that we'll discuss in a bit. But on to our top scorers, David. Two names we don't normally talk about on our top scorers of the week, but they are in there at joint third with 10 points. We have the AEW Women's Champion, the former captain of your team, Hikaru Shida, and one half of the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions in Chelsea Green. God, I didn't think that. Elliot's team, two names. I genuinely don't think we've ever talked about these two in the draft. Well, not as a top scorer.
Well, not in this season, at least. I mean, Chelsea Green's had a bit of a resurgence with Piper Niven as the women's tag champions. They've been defending the titles across Raw and NXT. You know, I think they had a decent segment on Halloween where they dressed up as Brett and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, which I thought was quite funny. But they seem to be finally making momentum after what has been a very cursed tag title run, and is starting to pick up some necessary momentum there. Hikaru Shida, though, is my captain. Oh, sorry, my former captain, I should say. Like, people were laughing at me when I had her as a first round pick, but if you look where she stands at the minute, she currently has more points than Gunther, who was a runaway success last season, and he is still holding the record for longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. So I think that puts into perspective, you know, how much of a bounce back Hikaru Shida's had, you know, regaining the women's title after losing it at Wembley. So although she's not my captain anymore, she's still getting those regular defenses and she's always picking up wins despite, you know, the big loss at Wembley. So I think it's definitely a bit of a bounce back for these two in a lot of ways.
I mean, I'm going to gloss over the Gunther thing because the fact they don't have him defending on any pay-per-view this season is a pain in the backside for me. But in terms of Hikaru Shida, it's not the fact that you picked her. It's the fact that you picked her round one ahead of the likes of Chris Statlander and MJF. I mean, if you had MJF instead of Shida, you probably could have still got Shida round two. I think that's kind of the thing about it, is the fact that there was picks like MJF on the board and it wasn't like Shida was going to go away, which is the thing. But
yeah,
I think that may be a lesson maybe you would look at in the seasons coming on. But Chelsea Green, third best round five pick of the season. The only ones who are ahead of her are Orange Cassidy, who, as we know, has had all the defences of the All-Atlantic Championship, and Adam Pearce, who we know is an appearance juggernaut in the draft. So to be the third best in round five is pretty good for Chelsea Green.
Yeah, this week alone has certainly pushed her past that. You know, like I said, you know, it's been a bit of a rebound for Chelsea Green getting the tag title defenses in there. But let's not take anything away from, you know, the likes of, you know, for fifth round picks, you know, you've got Asuka, Austin Theory, Tony Storm, Thea Hale. They've been performing quite well given the positions they were chosen. Not to mention Santos Escobar as well, who's you know, his association with LWO is, in terms of appearance points, is certainly keeping him afloat on your team. So there's been some pretty solid fifth round picks, you know, those that don't tend to score as highly, but given the position they're in, they're actually doing pretty well, all things considered. And Chelsea Green has now moved to Elliott's second highest scorer, just way behind the juggernaut performer that is Rhea Ripley, his team captain.
Yeah, nobody's touching Rhea Ripley on his team. I think that's
not a chance. Only Dom Dom can do that.
In storyline and in points, clearly.
Yeah.
the way our top scorers of the season is looking into are the top two performers this season. We'll talk about Dom in a minute, but our number two performer of the week, somebody who we mentioned just briefly there when we were talking about Karashida. MGF, the AEW world champion on 11 points, a big defence for him on Collision this past Saturday against Kenny Omega. Dave, we have talked in the past on this show about juggernaut performers at the top of the table who have had one, who have kind of driven their team forward. The big one was obviously a couple of years ago when Ross had Big E, mm-hmm. and drove him to the title.
Yep.
MJF for Callum is literally, he is keeping him afloat at the moment. That team is so one-sided to MJF, it's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, like everybody predicted, you know, Callum was going to be the one to fall into relegation. And to be fair,
he could still.
He could still. There's only a 14-point gap between him and the bottom scorer at the minute. But you're right, MJF is keeping him afloat with all these title defenses. And with the latest one against Kenny Omega, he's currently sitting fifth overall in the top 10 of the season with 76 points without the captaincy applied. So that puts him in contention, you know, with the Acclaimed, who have had a lot of trios defenses, and Señor Dinero en el Banco, Damian Priest. So it's... MGF has had a bit of a surge in terms of these title defences, and it is the only reason Callum is avoiding relegation at this point.
Goes to Japan for 2 weeks and thinks he's a linguist the way he's pronouncing all these things right now.
there were some Spanish-speaking folk in my group, so I got to practice a little bit with them. You know, there was two from Mexico and one from Colombia.
But back to MGF quickly. I mean, he's got he's won seven matches this season. He's got four pay-per-view title wins, which is a lot of big money, big points for him there. So mm-hmm. it's literally just, I mean, if Callum did not have MJF, I mean, this would not, this season would have been like a dead rubber for a long time. I think the fact that he's got MJF has made things very, very, at least a bit interesting, because if you look at the guys around the relegation, we'll talk about in a bit, they at least have a couple of performers who are around about the same score, but Callum literally, I mean, who is his next best one? Is it Nakamura? Is it Fia Hale? I'm just going to get it up there.
I think it's Fia Hale, actually.
Fia Hale. Somebody who we laughed at as a performer. He's got one pick on 1 point.
carrying Cross. But yeah. I suppose as expected, you know, carrying Cross has been made to look like trash lately.
Karrion Kross is rumoured to be getting a push following Crown Jewel. So if he does get a minor push, it could help Callum with a bit of extra points. What that push will detail, mm-hmm. we'll find out. But our top scorer of the season, Dave, somebody who's been up there for such a long time this season, is, of course, Dominic Mysterio, 12 points this week, a successful North American title defence at Halloween Havoc on NXT. I mean, our league leader, who we'll mention, is running away with it, and we can't discredit that. But the success story of this season has got to be Grant McRobbie and his role to draft. And then Dominic is a juggernaut pick. I mean, the fact that Grant got to pick second did help him with that strategy that he had. The strategy of having little to no strategy. But he chose to have Dominic as one of his, you know, top picks to have. And yeah, it's an absolute runaway. What a success Dominic's been over the last 12 months.
Hey, not just over the last 12 months, the last couple of the seasons of the draft, you know, he's been one of the top scorers throughout. And I think it's just purely down to the amount of heat he gets as a character. But his ring work has been continually improving week by week. And, you know, I was a bit skeptical about his in-ring performance. You know, you just put him on camera, he gets a reaction. But with him starting to get wins now, he starts to feel like more of a legit competitor. And I think he's going to be a first-round pick for many seasons to come if he's going to be racking up points like that. And it only helps Grant's case as well, you know, being the people's champion for this season with his dice rolling selections. You know, I think he's everybody's favourite this season.
Yeah, absolutely. He's kind of the second team of many. When everybody has a second team that they support, that they want to kind of finish maybe mid-table in the league to avoid relegation. Mm. And I think currently nobody wanted Grant to go down with that strategy, and Grant has surpassed expectations in some way. Dominic Mysterio, this is his second consecutive season now with a triple-figure score. He got 127 for me last season, the fifth best performer that season. He got 42 for you and Gary in the last tag season. Even that was enough to get 10th that season. Obviously, a shorter season then. So if this continues for Dominic with this kind of, you know, appearing on multiple shows thing, that he will be arguably a hot commodity again when it comes to the Rumble season, especially. He could be a contender to do well in the Rumble.
He's also got the highest number of appearances this season as well, with 80, considerably higher than the rest of his Judgment Day.
Because he's everywhere. He's absolutely everywhere.
Absolutely. He's everywhere, yeah. And he has 3 TV title defenses as well, which puts him in line with Gunther, Io Sky, and Jon Moxley. But it dwarfs in comparison to the likes of Orange Cassidy, the Acclaimed, and Chris Statlander, who are all currently on 6. So it's definitely a very, very evidential performance of a strong pick this season.
Yeah, it also shows the why you have to put the captain, a strong pick for your captain. If Grant did not have the captaincy on Dominic, he would be 7th in the table. So that just
mental.
That does show the how you need to. You'd be 4th, Dave, if they didn't have captaincy. So we'll cross over that again quickly and move on to the actual table before you get a bit depressed on that one. Bottom of the table is the Glasgow University Cricket Club of Andy Mitchell on 194 points. And just ahead of him, 2 points ahead of him, is Gary Kernahan with Team Viscera on 196 points. It's a big night tonight for Gary with his captain Cody Rhodes in action against Damian Priest. We'll talk about that in the last section of this show. He needs the points badly at the moment. Third from bottom, we have FTR Show with Ross McLeod on 205.5 points. And just a half a point ahead of him, we have Ryan Dalglish with Birigetti, Arms Like Spaghetti on 206. And then 2 points ahead of him is Callum Bennett on 208 points. So we have 14 points separating this bottom five. It is absolutely tasty right now, and they've got some potentials in there, so that we could see a good bit of swings tonight, Dave, which could be really interesting.
Oh yeah, like this is your relegation zone right here, these bottom five players. Like Crown Jewel could easily flip things on its head a little bit, but you know, we'll have to see. You know, Gary's got potential for points, Andy's got potential for points, Ryan as well. It's
Ross as well. Roman Reigns is captain.
Oh, of course, yeah. The very reason why Ross changed the captaincy was because of Crown Jewel. So, yeah, I think Callum's probably in the most danger here at this point.
Yeah, I think he's probably in a bit of danger to kind of slip down a wee bit and join Andy. Andy could potentially be going a bit adrift, although one of his team members is the number one contender for the Women's Tag Team Championship in Shotzi Blackheart with a teammate of Charlotte Flair.
Who's on my team.
Read into that what you will. And then we have a pack of 4 players who I would call the ones who are sweating it a wee bit on the potential for Crown Jewel that they could get dragged into it. Is yourself, David, with the West End Country Club on 229.5 points, just a point behind me, with Different Sports Evil Incorporated on 230.5 points. I have had a shocker of a couple of weeks.
You've had a stinker. You're like 5 points this week alone, which, I mean, I think it's probably one of the lowest scores for a single player in 1 week.
Oh, it's a bad one. Gunther decided not to appear on Raw. Blumen Becky appeared once. You know, Willow Nightingale lost to Shida, you know, just nothing kind of went my way.
The family lost the NXT tag titles.
That was last week. That's fine. That was last week. I'll roll that one in. Jack Graham's not too far ahead of us, though, on 233 points with a million ways to fuck up the draft. Then we've got in 5th place Elliot Cantor with Mae Young's son on 239.5 points. Enough, a respectable performance from our Listeners League winner and Elliot there to kind of be in a solid and safe place, considering he did not draft well at all. He has a 0 point performer still with Ronda Rousey, and she will probably stay that way.
She has been moved to the alumni section of WWE website, so I think it's safe to say she's not coming back.
She is appearing on an indie show in a few weeks' time, where she's going to be in a women's dream tag match. I use dream.
Dream match.
I use it in big quotation marks as the match is her team with Maria Shafir to take on Afira and Billy Starks. I have never dreamed of that in my puff. to say the least.
Two of the UFC four horsewomen, I guess.
Yeah, but if you, Maria Shafir has got the charisma of a fucking brick wall.
The charisma of an ironing board.
Oh, she's fucking dull as in. back to the table. Fourth place, we've got Grant McRobbie. We've rolled the draft, 267 points. He's a good bit clear now of the pack, so he should stay there. And he's only
Highest scorer this week as well, 33 points from this week alone.
A brilliant performance from Grant so far. He is 6 points behind Scott on 273 points with the Dave Hockney Better Wi-Fi Fund. That fund is very dry, as we know. Dave is just back from Japan. Second place, Tom Brock with 296 points with a platypus, Perry the Platypus. So he has a decent gap to Scott, but he is well, and I mean well, behind Team Goat. It is a gap now of 61.5 points to David on 357.5 points. David is
hell.
David is still sweating on winning this draft, apparently. I don't know why, because he now has the fourth best score in draft history. He's eyeing up my record score from season 5, which is I've had for 3 years. I've had that since the bloody pandemic. So this is it's a clinic in drafting, I think it's fair to say, David, when you look at Goat's team. He's played an absolute blinder.
Yeah, we've said this many a time, you know, having Damian Priest as his captain was probably a no-brainer because, you know, the association with Judgment Day is what kept him afloat. You've had Carmelo Hayes, who's had a pretty successful run as NXT champion, but the saving grace, I think, of Goat's team is probably the Acclaimed with all those trios type defenses on AEW TV.
Unreal.
Yeah, like 80 points for them alone. I mean, that's enough to dwarf, you know, a few, actually most round one picks. So it's unreal how well the Acclaimed have really backed them up here. And they're just one position out of the top 10 scorers for... Oh, no, sorry, my mistake. You know, they're currently fourth overall.
Yeah, if you count people's... If you count performers' captaincy points, if they've been captain, they're 11th. But if you take the captaincy points out of it, they're the fourth best performer. Mm. So that's still... That's a crazy amount of points for somebody who's not been a captain, you know. And it's an absolute... It's a decision, you know, that's why you go with them. And he now has Bianca Belair back from injury, so he could increase that gap further. We will talk about that at the end of the towards the end of the show. But Dave, the Listeners League has got some interesting stuff as well. We have the quarterfinals of the Listeners League Cup finishing as well, so I'll hand that over to you to go through what's going on there.
Joy. Like, if there's anything I haven't missed from this doing this trip to Japan, it's that, you know, at least I didn't have to cover the Listeners League. But you know what? It's back in the routine, unfortunately. But yeah, fifth place, we have Ross Brady with Karrion Kross on 347 points. Ross Brady, of course, a former winner of the Listeners League. Fourth place, we have Elora May with Only Prince, 363 points. So a good 16-point gap between those two. Then a 7.5-point gap from Elora to former winner Adam Callier, reach for the Daily Stars, climb every mountain higher, 370.5. But then it gets interesting again. You know, we've had three Johnnies dominating the Listeners League, but now there's only two of them. John Sly, Hurt Business-ish, has dropped to seventh place after leading in the top three for most of the season. But we have, in second place, breaking the 400-point gap, we have Jonathan Napier with Back to the Future Endeavours, 405.5 points. But taking the top position in the Listeners League ranking so far, we have Johnny Adam and Dark Side of the Onion Ring on 438 points. Johnny, of course, being the highest scorer this week with 40 points, largely down to Dominic Mysterio retaining the North American Championship. He has had the Acclaimed defending the Trios titles. He's had Chelsea Green defending the women's titles. You know, Solo Sikoa's got a big match lined up against John Cena. And of course, we have Rey Mysterio going up against Logan Paul at Crown Jewel. So on paper, Johnny Adams' team is looking prime for the rest of the season and to potentially be this season's Listeners League winner.
Yes, he's on track to win the actual league. But when it comes to the Listeners League Cup, he will not be doing the double. Well, Johnny Adam.
Nope, so he won't get to draft first if he wins the Listeners League standings because Jonathan Napier has defeated him in the quarterfinals of the Listeners League Cup, 82-72. He will now go up against Lee McAteer, who defeated John Sly 72-67. Both some very good, very close contests there. You know, less than a 10-point gap between those two. But the other bracket for the semifinals is we have Adam Callier, former winner, defeating Mike Nunn 91-66.5, who will now go up against Anthony Fitzpatrick, who defeated Ross Brady 73-68. So your brackets for the semifinals are Jonathan Napier versus Lee McAteer and Adam Callier versus Anthony Fitzpatrick.
I mean, Anthony Fitzpatrick, what a run he's had in this tournament. He's beaten three former winners of the Listeners League in Dan Axel Jameson, Robert Shaw, and Ross Brady. He will have to beat a fourth to make it to the final. That would be some story. Could it be any more interesting for him?
Oh, don't. That's hit hard, that comment.
Oh, you've got to throw it out to Matthew Perry. What a character. But yes, what an actual Listeners League Cup it is proving to be at the moment. Jonathan Napier could still do a double, Dave. You know, that could be something as well.
Yeah, certainly true. But I think, you know, the story here is Anthony Fitzpatrick defeating all the former winners. And, you know, I hope he goes the distance for this Listeners League Cup. But currently he's sitting sixth overall, whilst Adam is in third at the minute. So I'm not liking his chances to, you know, maybe his luck's finally run out.
Yeah, but Lee McAteer, he's 15th in the league. So that's an interesting one. He's against the second best performer of the season this season. So yeah, there is a lot of permutations that could go either way with that particular one, but we'll monitor it. The Listeners League semi-final runs for the next 2 weeks, with the final running the final week of the season plus Survivor Series. So we will keep you up to date with that one. Now, Dave, we mentioned Crown Jewel a few times in this show. And with the bottom of the table being particularly tight, there's a few good interesting matches in there that could really swing how that table's looking. Obviously, at the top of the table, it's a bit of a foregone conclusion. As I mentioned, the GOAT is still sweating it out because he does have his captain in a match. He's got two of his women in women's title matches, which if they lose could get negative points. But let's be brutally honest, unless Finn Balor appears about 20 times on this pay-per-view, I do not see a swing on that one. But at the bottom, there is a couple of ones that could really swing things. We mentioned the one of Bianca Belair for GOAT, but Io Sky's on the other side of things for Ryan. That's a tight one that could go either way, because we know Bianca Belair, you know, the female John Cena, as many people call her.
Uh-huh.
She's been booked over the last couple of years. Ryan will not be confident at all here.
Oh no, I mean, GOAT said in the chat, you know, a few days ago that, you know, it is possible that Bianca could just get a DQ win and that still counts as a title win for him. But it would spell disaster for Ryan if, you know, Io was on the losing end of this match in some way. But, you know, Ryan needs this to go in Io's favor more than anybody at this point. GOAT has a bit of leeway for this, so I wouldn't be worried too much. I'd be more worried if I was Ryan in that match.
Yeah, definitely. I think out of that five. Person bottom that we've talked about with Andy, Callum, Gary, Ryan and Ross. I think Ross is the most confident he will be able to get out of it, because he does have Roman Reigns, as we mentioned, as his captain. He's taking on LA Knight, who's on Andy's team. Now, this obviously could go in either way for these two, but as hot, as popular as LA Knight is, I can't see anything other than a Roman Reigns victory here, which will push Ross out. Because Ross, we talked about his captaincy choices. People questioned why they didn't maybe put it on Drew, because Drew's on TV every weekend winning. But he went for this one. This is his one shot with Roman, because Roman will not be defending that title again, apparently, if he wins until 2024.
Nope.
So it's all or nothing here for Ross, I think.
Oh, I think so, yeah. But you know what? I'm actually I'm thinking back to, I think it was last year's Crown Jewel, where Roman defended against Logan Paul. I think I was more worried about Logan Paul winning than I am about LA Knight winning here.
Yeah, well, but you will be more worried about Logan Paul winning tonight as well, as he takes on your captain,
Mysterio. Yeah.
You are obviously...
I'm shiting it for this one.
Yeah, because you're with me, Jack, and Elliot, and that kind of group who are above it. But if everything goes the way of the guys at the bottom, we could get dragged into it. Mm-hmm. You know, You don't have a hope in hell here of getting points, I don't think. No offence. I do not see anything other than a Logan Paul victory here.
Yeah, I think it's really looking like a Logan Paul victory here. You know, the guy's a menace to society. He's a bit of a draw, but, you know, I respect, you know, why he's a success story. You know, he's a boxer, he's a wrestler, WWE style. The guy's a draw, and I think he has earned a title reign in some capacity. He has beaten Rey Mysterio before, albeit in tag team scenarios before, but it's the one saving grace I have is I've got at least a 20-point gap between myself and Callum. So even if the worst-case scenario does happen, I still have a bit of flexibility to work with.
I mean, Callum's captain has about 20 million people challenging him for his belt right now, so
but remember this is a WWE show, not an AEW show.
Absolutely, yes. Callum has very little going on in this show, but he has stuff in the weeks to come. Gary has Captain Cody Rhodes taking on Damian Priest. Now, this is one that could go either way. Damian Priest, obviously the Money in the Bank holder, he's on a very good run at the moment, but Cody Rhodes, you know, he's Cody Rhodes, you know, so this
you know what?
50-50 chance. Obviously, Damian Priest is GOAT's captain. So yeah. David loses very little, I don't think, from losing this match. But if he does win it, the only thing that's worth watching for the top of the table now is if David can beat that record.
Yeah, I'm quite curious about this one because I may sound like a broken record when it comes to the order of matches here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cody Priest opened the show, Seth Rollins versus Drew main event, or co-main events it. Rollins beats Drew. Drew turns heel. He claymores him in the back, so he basically can't stand up. And then Priest cashes in. I think that's a very likely scenario that could happen here.
That's a very, very plausible one. And it's a scenario I don't think Jack Graham would be very happy about, because obviously Seth Rollins is his captain. It would drag him back into it. It wouldn't be great for Ross with Drew McIntyre and his team. Actually, talking about Ross, Ross has three people in action tonight in Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, and Solo Sikoa. So that is very interesting permutations. If he gets 2 out of 3 wins there, he's safe, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. I think Solo is probably John Cena is going to put Solo over.
It's a hard one to say because John Cena's been talking about the fact he's not won a lot since he's been back. He's not won a pay-per-view match in a while. It's been a lot of big talk about that one. So,
but he's also contemplating retirement as well.
Yeah, and he's also due to go back to acting with the writer's strike ending there. So he's going to go back to a role on that one. I actually watched The Suicide Squad last night for the first time, and he's hilarious as Peacemaker. So he's,
I think Peacemaker is one of his better roles, absolutely. But he has had a stinker release, really, you know, a 0% rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so maybe that's why he went back to the wrestling, because he knows he's because he's good there. The other role match to talk about is the women's five-way match. We've got Rhea Ripley from Elliot's team, Shayna Baszler, who's on Gary's team, so Gary's got two people there at all. I'd be less confident about this one from him, and Raquel Rodriguez, who's on the GOATs team. I don't think anybody has Zoe Stark.
No, Zoe Stark and Nia Jax are both undrafted.
I know Nia Jax is undrafted because she returned after the draft started this season, but I think as well, I know Elliot's, I mentioned he's in that pack of four with us two and Jack, but I think Elliot's sound here. I don't see Rhea Ripley losing that title to WrestleMania.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I think Zoe Stark's mainly there just to eat the pin, if I'm being honest, because I think any of the other three, I don't think they could afford to take a pin at this point, given, you know, Nia Jax just returned, Shayna Baszler's had a bit of a resurgence, and Raquel's obviously, you know, still in hot pursuit of the championship with Liv being out with injury.
I mean, I would love if Raquel got pinned just to see David Campbell's reaction. I think that'd be priceless. There's also potential tonight for some points, potentially for Tom Brock. He's got Paul Heyman and Bayley in his team, so that could potentially get him some nice appearance points. Tom, I think, has lost faith in winning in the draft this season, but I think he still thinks he could get that best ever second place finish, the best ever non-winning finish.
I think as long as he breaks the 300-point mark, I think he'll be. I think it's safe to say, you know, he'll be a successful season.
Mm-hmm. I'm double checking Callum. Yep, Callum definitely has nothing really in there unless Karrion Kross has some sort of vignette. And the other one to mention, Scott McLeod, he's in third. He's trying to hold off Grant McRobbie. And he has JD McDonagh on the pre-show facing Sami Zayn. Any chance of points for him there?
That's a difficult one. I think because Sami Zayn obviously has been cutting a passionate promo, you know, as a solo performer on Raw now. But I think the story here is more that Andy Mitchell had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as his tag team, and now they're on separate shows. So I think
he's killing him.
Andy is properly screwed for the rest of the season now. But I think I can see JD McDonagh losing this one. I think Sami Zayn needs a bit of resurgence.
Having a five-person team is difficult. And the fact that Ryan once won with essentially a five-person team last year was unreal. Mm-hmm. I found it tough since CM Punk got suspended because it's kind of really kind of hit me. Because when you have weeks like this and you have nothing going your way, it's like...
Ryan has a negative point scorer still in the form of Jungle Boy.
Yeah, that's... You know,
I think that's worse than having a null scorer like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, but cry me a river after Ryan. no pun intended. But yes, that is Crown Jewel. That's taking place tonight as of time of recording and time of this show coming out. Plenty of points permutations in there for both us and the Listeners League, because obviously the Listeners League guys have got... It could swing quite a lot for them too. 18 people having Rhea Ripley, so it'll be interesting to see how the points are looking this time. Next week, there's still a packed schedule coming up before the season's ended, especially in those last couple of weeks. We've got Blooming Full Gear still coming up on the 18th of November as well, the week before Survivor Series. So much can go on in the points. It'll be an interesting final few weeks to go, especially towards the bottom of the league, because no one's catching GOAT. I'm not even going to pretend anybody's going to get close to him. But yeah, that has been it from this particular week of Saturday Draft Live, episode number 198. We're very close to that episode 200 now.
Yes.
Which is going to be very interesting. Episode 200, actually, the day of Full Gear. So that will be an interesting one to listen to. Dave, thanks for joining me after your trip across the globe. Before we finish up, could you briefly, anything you would highlight about Japan for the listeners?
Yeah, I'd say if you go to Japan, you know, just try as many food outlets as you can. You know, they're very popular with street food, anything with sushi, ramen in particular. You know, there's a few branches of Ichiran ramen when you're over there. Arguably the best ramen noodle dish you could ask for anywhere in the world.
There we go. Dave has helped us some sales in Wagamama this weekend. So,
Oh, no. Don't take that cheap knockoff that is Wagamama. You know, you want the real deal, you go to Ichiran in Tokyo or Osaka.
Have you been to Wagamama? I would not call that cheap. That's what you could call it, a knockoff, but cheap, a bit of a stretch. if you have enjoyed the show, obviously hit that subscribe button, and you can catch all the content on Suplex Retweet, including our up and coming feature show that's coming up this Friday with Chris Murray hosting that with Gary, Billy, and Alan as they talk about the career of the Hall of Famer Rowdy Roddy Piper, not Rowdy Ronda Rousey, the original, and the best, Roddy Piper. Thanks for listening, everybody. I've been Stephen Wilson, and we will see you next time. Have a good one.
Sayonara. Sports Social Podcast Network.